In our last study in the Gospel of Matthew, you will recall we were thinking about the part that the women played in the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we said one word would characterize those ladies, faithfulness, and we were discussing the kind of faithfulness which they manifested, which we said would be a good illustration of the kind of faithfulness that you and I should manifest toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We said that their faithfulness was marked by persistence in that they were last at the cross, and we will see they were first at the tomb, and all during their life long they ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. We call to your attention the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in which these women, whose names are listed here in the Matthew account, are listed along with some other women, and we mentioned that Luke illustrated the practicalness of their faithfulness in that they ministered unto the Lord Jesus Christ of their substance. Could anything be more practical than that? Permit this personal reference, please. We endeavored to give each one of our 7 children some name that would be representative of a Christian virtue or a Christian testimony or a Christian example, so that when we were rearing them, we would be able to give concrete illustrations of the kind of life that would please the Lord as they lived it. God was very gracious to permit us to close our family with 2 girls. And someone said, "What are you going to do about a name for them? For there are no names of twins in the Word of God, and it would be difficult to find 2 names of Christian virtues that would apply. What are you going to do?" Well, I said, we're going to do what we've always done. We're going to find 2 names in the Word that will apply. And here in the 8th chapter of Luke, we found 2 names, 2 girls, if you please, Joanna and Susanna. And we gave those names to our 2 daughters. All of the children are grown now, but while the children were growing, we would often say to Joanna and to Susanna, God had 2 women on the earth to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Oh, what did they do?" was the response from the children quite often, expecting an answer relative to some unusual feat or performance. And what we said was, they gave him what they had, because that's what it means. They ministered to him of their substance. They gave him what they had. You know, oftentimes we want to do something great and something of great notice. As far as our love, our service for the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. But I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, when things are given account and the hidden secrets are brought to mind and the dark counsels of the heart and the motives of men, we're going to find that a great many folk who never stood in the limelight perform services for our Lord, which will be remembered at the judgment seat of Christ. These faithful women receive special notice by the Holy Spirit of God in Matthew's record of the burial of the Savior. But there is one other thing that I must mention concerning these faithful women, which perhaps surmounts everything else that could be said, and that is their faithfulness was prompted by love. We might believe that because of the gentle ministry of these women or the general character of these women, that such would be the case. But we want to emphasize to you in verse 61 of our paragraph these words, "There was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." The other Mary? I don't know who that other Mary was. Some folk assume that the other Mary was Mary, the mother of James, and perhaps that's who she was. But I wonder if the other Mary could not have been Mary of Bethany, who made manifest her deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ by breaking that very expensive vial of ointment and anointing the Lord Jesus for the day of his burial. You recall she did this because of her great love for him. Others who were there talked about waste. They talked about foolishness. But the Lord Jesus Christ commended her, saying that she was the only one who really had any understanding of what was going on, because she anointed him for the day of his burial. She had a spiritual insight that none of the others seemed to have. I'm inclined to think that this dear Mary, with spiritual insight, would probably be there at the sepulchre. So I'm inclined to think the other Mary mentioned here was Mary who broke the alabaster box of ointment. And the fact that she was there is a reminder to us by the Spirit of God that the faithfulness of these women was prompted by love, as should all faithfulness be. I say all faithfulness should be prompted by love. Faithfulness that is not prompted by love turns into a cold, legalistic manner of life that is repulsive and abhorrent to people. You know, a man and a woman living together in the bond of marriage can grit their teeth and be faithful because they've taken a vow to be faithful. I know individuals who are living within the marriage bond who have never been unfaithful because they have taken a vow that they would not be. There's no love in that relationship, and the whole relationship is a legal one, literally and figuratively. The whole relationship is a torturous bond, for there's no love. But where there's love, there is the principle of faithfulness, and that principle of faithfulness becomes a joyful privilege and not an awesome duty. There are many individuals today who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ for one simple reason. They are afraid they will go to hell if they are not faithful. They have no joy in their experience with Christ. They are afraid that some terrible thing will happen to them if they are faithless even for a moment. They do not have a singing relationship with Christ. But we who have learned that he will not desert us if we are faithful, we who have learned that he will not lay us aside if we are faithless, are not fearful in our faith. We are loving, and we are serving him out of love and are faithful to him because we love him. We know that he recognizes our frame, that we are but dust. He knows that we will fail, and he understands. And that's the reason why he has given us the promise in the Word of God that if we are unbelieving, that is, if we are faithless, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He gave us his word, and he loves us, and he will not deny his word nor the manifestation of his love. Oh, that the Holy Spirit of God would shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, as Paul said in his letter to the Romans, that the love of God, not love for God, but the love of God that loves, expecting nothing in return, would permeate our lives in relationship to a God and in relationship to our loved ones. What a difference there would be. You see, so often we tend to think if God does not bless us all the time, we tend to think if we are called upon to go through the trial, through the fire, through the water, that we don't have any, God has no real right to do that to us, and we don't have any real obligation to serve him. What was it Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is enduring love. The Apostle Paul spoke of this love that prompted faithfulness in a way that certainly comes to our mind logically at this particular time. The Apostle was speaking about his zeal and how some folk thought his being so zealous meant that surely he must have lost his mind in some fashion. And the Apostle said, no, I'm perfectly sane. It is the love of Christ that constraineth me. Paul, why is it that you do what you do? Why is it that you make the sacrifices that you make? And he said, the answer is love. The love of Christ constraineth me. It forces me to do what I do. I do it willingly. If you're being faithful today because you're afraid to be faithless, let me encourage you to ask the Spirit of God to shed abroad the love of God in your heart and in your life, that you may do out of love for Him what you may be doing now out of a feeling of obligation. It is interesting to notice that the men who have accomplished much for God are the men whose hearts have been moved for love. I often think of the song that seemed to be the favorite of a dear old teacher of the Word of some years ago, Now with the Lord. He often quoted the words, "Oh, He's done so much for me. He's done so much for me. If I tried throughout all eternity, I could never tell you what He's done for me." And then he would go on to say that the Lord had done so much for him, there was no way that he could help but live and die in His service, and he did. He went to be with the Lord from Australia during a ministry there into the very later years of his life, when he could scarcely stand within the pulpit. What a wonderful way to end the ministry. The Apostle Paul said the same thing, "The time of my departure is at hand. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and to all others who love His appearing." Yes, we love Him. Peter said, "Whom not having seen ye love, and rejoice with joy unspeakable." And we also love His appearing. Well, I trust that you will be with us the next time we meet together to study the Word, and we'll continue thinking about the lessons related to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ.